How you been? Thank you. Actually, Ms. Sanchez, I thought that was extremely funny when I looked at that. Agenda item number 3. Okay.
Once people start talking.
The lights are bright.
I think they've changed the piece.
Good evening, Andy. Commissioner Machen's here. I'd like to call to order the regular scheduled planning commission for tonight. Call to order, and Commissioner Earp, would you lead us in the flag salute, please? Seated. Ms. Sanchez, would you call the roll?
Yes. Chair Heasley.
Present.
Vice Chair Durr.
Here.
Commissioner Machen.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Here.
Commissioner Ebley.
Here.
Commissioner Paxton. Commissioner Daly.
Here.
And we have our newest Commissioner Earp. We have Commissioner Barnhart and Commissioner Wyatt absent. We have quorum.
Thank you. Director, I would like to have you start with introductions, if you would, please.
Yes, thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to introduce our newest commissioner, Stephen Earp. He was appointed on Monday evening by Council Member Mulvihill, So he is Councilmember Mulva Hills representative, and I was Oliver Mahika, and I were able to meet with him this afternoon and give him some background on the commission and answer any questions he had about the report. And Stephen, I don't know if you want to say a few words about yourself. Great. Well, welcome aboard. I also have one other introduction. The city manager's office has been working to build up its capacity for to do economic development activity. And we have a gentleman, Cruz Esparza, who started 3 weeks ago. He is the economic development manager who works for Bill Manis, who is the deputy city manager. And I've asked Cruz to say a few words about himself, so he promised to keep it under 20 minutes.
Thank you, commissioners. Thank you for a nice welcome by all of you and by the staff as well. My name is Cruz Esparza. I am the new economic development manager working for Bill Manis, and this is my third week. So don't ask me where the bathroom is, but I'm finding myself around very well, and everybody is so helpful here. What I'm looking forward to do is working very closely with all the departments in development. My goal will be to create jobs, bring businesses here, create revenue, and also retain the businesses that are here. That is very important to me, and I take it very seriously. And I have a very business-friendly attitude, and I think that has been that is why I've been very successful in what I do, and I enjoy what I do. I like challenges, and I think a challenge is an opportunity. And so I look forward to this opportunity here at the City of San Bernardino and working very closely with Mark's staff. I historically have worked always very closely with the planning staff. I think that's a key relationship for any business that's coming into a community. So I look forward to a long time here. And if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to entertain any.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. Well, welcome. I won't ask you where the bathrooms are because I know they're hard to find. Maybe just a little bit of your background.
Okay, my background. I have about 20 years experience in economic development for local cities. I started off with the city of Pomona. From Pomona, I went over to the city of Chino, and I spent 13 years there. I left Chino at the end of 2014 to have a couple of our opportunities that I pursued, and then this opportunity presented itself, and I just thought it was a great opportunity and a good fit for what I do. I graduated from Cal Poly Pomona, urban planning. So my background is urban planning, and I'm sensitive to the uses and what the hard work that you guys do. And I think it's very important to the city. So I'm married, have two kids. I have a daughter that's a junior at UC Irvine, a son that's a senior in high school. And my wife and I have been married 21 years. And she actually works in downtown San Bernardino here. So now we get to share lunch every once in a while. So, yeah. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Cruz. I think I speak for all of us. We welcome you to come aboard and help our city grow and improve. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this point, anybody wishing to speak tonight will have to be sworn in. Would staff administer the oath?
Yes. Please stand. Anybody looking to speak tonight?
That's anybody that wishes to address the meeting tonight.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do. Thank you. You can have a seat.
Thank you. The consent agenda is next, and consent items are considered routine in nature and may be enacted in one motion. All public and non-public hearings will be opened at one time. Any item may be discussed separately upon a request of the member of the Planning Commission or a member of the public. What does staff recommend for the consent agenda for this evening?
Chair, we have two items on tonight's consent agenda. The first are the minutes of September 16th, 2015. And the second item is conditional use permit 15-15, which is a request for the installation and operation of a 65-foot tall monopalm at 735 East Baseline Avenue in the commercial heavy zone. This project is exempt from CEQA review, and staff is recommending approval of both of those items.
Any commissioners wish to pull either item or have comments on either item before I entertain a motion? I entertain a motion at this time. I have a motion to approve. A second?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimous. Public hearing items are next. Planning Commission will hear a report from staff, then the public hearing will be open. The applicant will have an opportunity to speak. Next, members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Again, anyone in the audience wishing to speak must be sworn in and also fill out a request to speak form. The forms are located on the table near the door. When your name is called, come forward, speak into the microphone, say and spell your name, and give your address for the tape record. After all is spoken, the applicant will be allowed to respond. Public hearing that will then be closed, and the Planning Commission will begin deliberations and make a decision. All actions except general plan amendments and amendments to the Municipal Development Code are final action unless an appeal is filed and a fee paid within 15 days to the Community Development Department. If you challenge the result action of the Planning Commission in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues you or someone else raised at the public hearing described in this agenda or in written correspondence delivered to the Community Development Department at or prior to the public hearing. Item number three, please.
Good evening, Commissioners. Item number three is conditional use permit number 1321. It's for the property located at 799 West Baseline Street. And the request here is kind of as an introduction and a little bit of a follow-up of Cruz's work that he'll be doing, is we're experiencing a lot of interest in what we're calling redevelopment, existing property owners that are revitalizing their existing properties. This is one of those examples, and as I go through it, you'll kind of see what we're trying to accomplish here, here in the city. So the applicant has an existing service station at the corner of H and Baseline, and there's also a fast food restaurant that's adjacent to it. And the property also includes a vacant lot that is to the south of the site. What they're looking to do, the overall improvements, is first of all the demolition of the existing improvements, the gas station, the pump islands, and the freestanding fast food restaurant, and also the construction of a new service station, a gas station with 6 fuel station islands and 12 pumps. They're also going to include a new convenience store, which is going to utilize the existing ABC Type 20 alcohol license that's off sales for that convenience store. They're also going to have 2 commercial spaces that would be leased out to commercial-related services. They'll have a smog check station, as well as a car wash with 3 service-based self-service car wash. The application has been in for a bit, but we've been going through the process. So we've gone through the procedures. We've gone through the Development Environmental Review Committee, who has reviewed the application and the CEQA documentation for this. I'm not sure why this keeps going in and out, but anyway. And we've done the mailing pursuant to the code requirements. Before you is the aerial of the site, showing you where the existing improvements are in the surrounding area. The zoning of this property and those adjacent to it is the commercial designation. Properties behind it are medium density residential. There is an alley that separates the commercial and the residential uses. This is a slide of the existing improvements of the service station. And the next two slides will be the existing site plan for the site, for the project. So you can see the pump islands and the existing restaurant. The next slide to the right will show the vacant lot. A site plan for the proposed improvements. Again, the pump islands will be at the corner along with the convenience store. And then the next slide will show where where the commercial, the self-serve, and the commercial uses are. Keep this slide for a moment. We do have perimeter landscaping. We've gone through the development code. They meet all the standards as it relates to the setbacks, the heights, the density, the parking requirements, and such. I will note, however, that the code does require a 10-foot landscaping along Baseline and H Street. They're currently showing 8 feet, so that would be increased to the 10-foot minimum, and that's included as a condition of approval. Next slide shows the elevations or the renderings of the project. Again, we're excited. We see some improvements to the aesthetics. We do have a major intersection here, the community, so we believe that this will greatly enhance that location. And again, this shows the car wash and the smog set check station. Our recommendation is that the Planning Commission approve the project as proposed. We have included a number of conditions. There's also some specific conditions as it relates to the alcohol sales on the facility. There's also some requirements for the monitoring, make sure that there's security, there's those kinds of measures to prevent certain activities from happening on the site. The project we're recommending for categorical exemption. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. The applicant is here as well. And thank you.
What are the businesses on the other corners across from this project?
We have a service station on the
Or how close is this project to the overpass, which is Baseline and H? Isn't it close to that?
Yes, it would be just to the left of that slide. And so 300 feet?
To the overpass.
That's correct.
Okay, so across the street is a Shell gas station.
That's correct.
And then
Then we have the constructions. It's an ARCO, I believe.
And this project would be on the side of the overpass in that empty lot?
There's a construction site. Right now there's a gas station.
There's a gas station right now.
That's where the Union 76 station is right now. That's being demolished and rebuilt.
And also I noticed that the hours is this, it's a 24-hour operation.
That's correct. Correct.
The sale of alcohol is from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. So they're either going to be staggering in or staggering out. Why so long? There's only 4 hours where there's going to be no sales of alcohol. Why is it so long?
Well, the certainly we can condition it for less. The ABC license allows them up to those hours. Mm-hmm. That's just standard throughout California. Again, as a discretionary action, the commission can reduce that or modify those.
It's our discretion to request. I don't understand. I know if you'd
like to reduce the hours, you have the authority to do so.
And we request that be modified.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, if I may, you could provide conditions, as you have any conditions on this conditional use permit, which could also include a limitation on the sale of alcoholic beverages, but there has to be some rational basis for that proposal. That condition. So if there's some, public nuisance, crime, loitering, evidence of attractive nuisances in the vicinity that you feel that would warrant, further restricting sales of alcoholic beverages, you can do that. But there's nothing that I've seen in the record yet. Well, I believe that there's a current ABC license for the site, so it would be if you know of any record of existing problems with the sale of alcoholic beverages, especially at those hours at that location. That would be a really important distinction. I don't know. You'd have to ask the staff.
No, we have not.
My concern is, everybody knows that Baseline has a lot of prostitution and a lot of other problems related to that. It also has a high number of alcohol outlets very close to each other. Not necessarily close to the gas station, but it's one more that there is. And my understanding is prostitution pretty much extends up to G, very close to H, and where this is going to be. This station is going to be open longer than some of the other alcohol outlets. So it's going to be available for the sale of alcohol, which I don't know how many other individuals that's going to bring, along with some of the other problems. I think the project is good in that it's supposed to be new, brand new, and an expansion and everything that's going to improve that corner. But there's also that concern that it's not improving all the other streets, the Baseline. You know, we're doing it pretty piecemeal. And that's my only concern is the hours for the sale of alcohol.
If I may, if I could refer you to the next item on the agenda, the conditions of approval. There's a condition number 12, which talks about 12 months after the issuance of the certificate of occupancy, staff shall review the business to make sure that there's not any issues that have been raised, you know, come up, and that they're in compliance with the conditions of approval. And if there's any items that we should return to the commission, we can do so under that condition. Were you able to locate that on the next item? No, if you look at agenda item number 4, which is the next item, if you look at condition number 18, please. The condition reads, within 12 months from the issuance of certificate of occupancy, the planning division shall conduct an inspection of the business operations and property to ensure compliance with conditions of approval to the satisfaction of the community development director. In the event that an unresolved issue continues to exist, the applicant shall submit an application, an appropriate application fee, for reconsideration by the planning commission.
Where are you reading that? I don't know. I'm not following you.
If you go to agenda item number 4.
Item number 4.
The conditions of approval, attachment A.
Is it an attachment A?
Yes, it's the conditions of approval.
Item number 4, number 4.
Item number 4 on the agenda.
The next item.
Oh. The next item on the agenda.
The agenda. Yes, what about it?
No, condition number 18.
That's good. I think my suggestion is, can we be a little proactive about some of these problems and nuisances that come about instead of waiting for it to happen, and then it's much more difficult to resolve. Did staff not request input from the police?
We have and did not receive any response.
They didn't respond or what?
They did not respond.
They did not respond. We don't know why. They just
didn't respond.
My thoughts were, and we said this about that, on the condition of retiring an additional license in the immediate neighborhood for approval of a facility such as this, that they apply and retire another license.
Well, this has an existing license.
I know that. On condition of buying and retiring another one in the neighborhood or within the city limits of San Bernardino, and retire because we have over abundance of outlets selling expensive alcohol.
So you say that they would have two licenses?
Mr. Chairman, if I may, that was a situation where you had a new ABC licensed business being created at that site, and so the desire of the commission was, in order to approve an ABC conditional use permit for that location, they would have to obtain a transfer, basically, of an existing ABC license in the city to that new location, which is different from the situation you have here now, where you have an existing ABC license at this location. If this applicant decides not to pursue this conditional use permit, they do have an ABC license to sell alcoholic beverages at this location currently. And so there is not a new application for a CUP for this site. Basically, he has an existing ABC license. So I'd question whether you can impose the additional requirement in this case.
I'm going to say, correct me if I'm wrong on this. We conditioned that new application for an ABC license applied to the EU1 requirement. This is an existing situation. I understand that they have an existing license. I don't see what that doesn't prevent us from requiring them to buy another license within the city.
I wish there was a record here from which I could advise you that that kind of condition, just like the condition that Commissioner Lopez was suggesting, was here. In previous applications, you had input from the police department. You had data about the number of ABC licenses, the crime statistics. You had all of that showing that there was an undue concentration of ABC licenses in this particular area. You don't have that, unfortunately, here. I don't know the reason why you don't, but if you had that, then I would advise you that, you may do what you're proposing. But at this point, without that record, you're on precarious grounds of imposing those requirements. You do have conditions regarding the sale of alcoholic beverages. If you looked at the conditions of approval on beginning on condition number 9, with the prohibition of certain products being listed there that are pursuant to the deemed approved ordinance. So there are restrictions in the conditions of approval currently.
We don't have that information in this report. At least I didn't find it, where we usually get information about alcohol outlet concentration where there is going to be an ABC license. That isn't a part of this report.
Sorry. I'll let you finish.
Thank you. And I would suggest to my fellow commissioners that we don't make a decision without that information, as well as input from the police department, because of the location and baseline and the other existing problems that are there.
Yeah, I was sorry to interrupt, Commissioner Lopez.
No, that's fine. You can interrupt any time, Mark.
No, I try not to. The police department has recently lost the individual that would have responded to this. Mm-hmm. And for new licenses, we absolutely would get that information. We viewed this, staff at least, planning staff viewed this differently, because this is an existing location with an existing license. They are making fairly significant physical improvements to the property, and we believe that those physical improvements are certainly much warranted and needed in the area. If it's a new license, We absolutely concur. The over-concentration is a significant issue, and we do look at that. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't take a new license forward without that information from the Planning Commission, or excuse me, from the Police Department. But because this was an existing facility with an existing license, we viewed it differently, and that's why we didn't push the Police Department because of the changeover and because it's an existing permit. We felt it was adequate to bring it forward as is. I will agree with the city attorney that I think it would be difficult for the commission to request or require that they retire an existing license, essentially to maintain the license that they have, because that's really all they're doing. I do wonder, though, if the applicant might be willing to slightly modify their hours, if that was an alternative that the commission was willing to consider. Instead of a 6 to 2, 7 days a week, maybe they would be willing to start sales later in the day or conclude a little earlier on some weekdays, and maybe that's a middle ground that the applicant would be willing to consider.
I have no problems with the project because I think it looks great, and for that area it will enhance everything. And my only concern is that of the hours for the sale of alcohol.
Right.
And really that would be the main question that I would want to hear from the police, what they thought about that. So if the developer is willing to modify that, I think we're all open for it.
Yeah, we didn't ask them, but it certainly might be worth entertaining the question of the applicant.
For the sake of the safety of the community and his customers, I would think so. He would consider it, or she would consider it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Just a few questions and a couple of comments. I guess the first question is, we're talking about ABC permits here. What is the... Let me back up. So I understand this correctly. What we have a situation here is we have an existing ABC type 20 permit that's being transferred to on the existing property to a new use. Is that accurate?
That's correct. They're demolishing the existing improvements, rebuilding, and will be re-implementing essentially what they're doing today.
And maybe Mr. Pinho can elaborate on this. The rules around transferring or modifying an existing permit like this, are the rules different if you wanted to move the permit from one physical location to another physical location versus is this changing ownership at all?
No,
we're not changing ownership. So we're just modifying an existing business to make improvements to that business to expand it, all falling underneath the exact same ABC permit.
That's correct.
Okay. And then it looks like there's an existing convenience store across the street, if I'm looking at this correctly. Is that what I see?
Yes, it is. Yes, an Arco station.
An Arco station. And does that Arco station have an existing type 20 ABC permit? Do we know?
Most likely it does. I can't say for certain, but...
Okay.
Most of them do.
Okay. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought. So, it seems that our hands are kind of tied in a certain sense, in that we are not moving anything around here. We're staying with the exact same ownership. We're really just looking at a rehab of an existing building to expand and enhance that. Are there any security enhancements that are being proposed as part of this expansion enhancement?
Yeah. Again, there are conditions that our code spells out for alcohol-related uses.
I'm just wondering about any existing, because, you know, given the commissioner's concern about, you know, the neighborhood in which this is around, are there plans to install any extra lighting, any extra cameras?
They do have security cameras. They will have lighting, again, you know, that's shielded from the surrounding uses kind of thing, but the intent is that it is secure. And that they are, there's some requirements that they register with the police department, those sorts of things. And the idea, and that's kind of one of the benefits of a new conditional use permit as proposed is that, as you know, it's been operating for some time now, and now with this new application, we could, you know, we're bringing up the site to code. We're able to impose new conditions, whatever your pleasure is, and then they can continue their operation.
Okay, and then I guess just, you know, that answered a lot of my questions, and I guess my comment is to your point, Amelia. You know, 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. You know, that's pretty early. 2 a.m. is pretty standard. You know, 2 a.m., you know, that's when bars do last call. 2 a.m., you know, around the board is pretty standard. I don't know if anybody would be interested in maybe a 7 a.m. call or 7 a.m. start or an 8 a.m. call. You know, to me, it you know, sensitive to the concerns, it sounds like our hands are a little bit tied here. But it does seem like maybe the applicant might be willing to give a little bit on starting to sell alcohol in the morning because, you know, who needs to get a six-pack at 6 a.m.? I don't know. I don't know. What do you think?
How close is this project to the elementary school? It's pretty close. Isn't there an elementary school on the corner of G and H? I got my streets right. Baseline and G.
Baseline and G. Wow, I didn't know that intersected.
And so the sale of alcohol is another concern. I like the 10 a.m. because, you know, you'll have children in the morning walking to school, blah, blah, blah. A lot of mothers walk their children to school. Across the street from the school is another shopping strip mall with a lot of activity, grocery store, laundromat, et cetera, fast food. That's why I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe if the applicant's open to maybe moving that 6 a.m. start time to maybe 8 a.m. or maybe 9 a.m., maybe that might be a move here. I'm sensitive to, you know, city attorney's office and, you know, planning staff's, you know, comment that, you know, we are a little bit constrained in what we can actually do here, you know, vis-a-vis the actual ABC permit.
I would also like to point out to the question about security. There are two conditions that you may have seen, 17 and 18, that do require a security guard as well as security cameras. So there will be, as Oliver has pointed out, enhanced lighting as well as enhanced security.
You know, I like the fact that you're pointing out all of these, you know, the security for this and security that, but this has been done many times before, and then we do have some problems that result because of the nature of alcohol and other activities. I'm just suggesting that we be a little proactive so that we avoid some of these. Though we don't have a lot of police calls for services, we don't have community residents at risk, and the business at risk, because they have to have people there at those hours also selling their products and stuff. I like
this. If the applicant would come down, please.
Michael Coles, 18130 Glenel Drive, Riverside, California. The station, the owner of the station has been a good, I've done a couple stations for him before. He wants to be a good member of this community. He's provided a lot of money to this site to attract a good client. We're looking at attracting a 7-Eleven. So the standard procedures of a 7-Eleven would dictate as far as the hours of selling the alcohol. So we have no problem as long as we can attract the clients we need. I'm sure everybody's been to a 7-Eleven. We'd have to maintain that their standards, and typically the 7-Elevens do very well with the added security and the added lighting. I think that it allows us to compete, because another thing he has to do is he has to compete with the ARCO across the street. The ARCO probably has the same hours that are indicated in there, but we have no problem with anything that the city wants to do to better the neighborhood. That's what we're trying to do. This is not an inexpensive, thrown-together station. You can check with the owner's other projects. The cities are very happy with what he's done there. He goes above and beyond on that stuff. So if there's an alcohol issue, or I think the condition that how it's written in staff report is pretty well done. because it actually takes a look at the project on a basis. Maybe take a look at the site every 6 months. If it's conditioned every 6 months, if it gets out of hand or you see an issue, but the money's being spent to attract a good tenant like 7-Eleven, so our hours are kind of tied to what they require.
Thank you. So you're amenable to a slight adjustment to the hours, as Commissioner Lopez was referring to?
Yes, as long as our tenant agrees to that, and you know, because our contract is going to relate to that agreement. So I think we're fairly flexible. As long as we can attract that tenant, we want a nice establishment there. We want to provide the benefits to the community of the 7-Eleven, the multiple items that they offer, the convenience. So I think we're open to that.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, and I'm going to withdraw my request for the additional license. It was just a thought that I was putting out, trying to reduce the total number of alcoholic licenses in the city, because we do have an ongoing problem with alcoholism as a disease and a police issue as well.
How much are the alcohol licenses in the city of San Bernardino?
How many?
How much?
How much are
they? I don't know what the costs are for a license.
ABC thing, right? It's a state thing.
I'm sure the owner will look into that as well. I think he might do that as a good business owner.
I would be willing to go with what you suggested, Commissioner Daly, about 9 a.m. to 2 a.m., if that's amendable to.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. It kind of sounds like, and I appreciate, you know, everything that you said and your comments, but it sounds like what's happening here is that we have a potential tenant in 7-Eleven.
Correct.
And that potential in 7-Eleven is a national tenant that probably has standard boilerplate operating agreements throughout the state and nation, consistent with state laws in each state that they operate in. Right. So in Texas, you probably can't sell beer until after 12 o'clock on Sunday. Right. And in some states, you probably have to stop selling at 1 a.m. In states like Pennsylvania, you probably can't sell anything.
Dry areas,
you can't sell anything at all. So what it sounds like to me is that their tenant is going to, in a certain sense, dictate what those hours are based on the law, the state law that we're currently operating it in. And I don't know for a fact, but for some reason I thought that 7 a.m. to 2 a.m. was kind of what the state law required for when you could start selling alcohol.
I think it actually is.
I think it might be 7. Don't quote me on that. I may or may not have been around a little bit. So to me, that, you know, that's the only thing that I would be a little concerned about, is if we put a condition on this that says 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., that they would not be able to then, in fact, land a tenant like 7-Eleven, which to me is a much better tenant than maybe a less known or non-existent brand that's just coming in there, because they can do what they, you know, they can meet the conditions of the permit. So maybe if it's, I mean, I personally like the idea of pushing it back a little bit later in the morning, but if that means we have to go from a 7-Eleven being a tenant to a, I don't know,
mom and pop
Joe's convenience store that maybe not have the same kind of security protocol that a brand like 7-Eleven would, I would be more concerned about that scenario than I am about 7-Eleven starting to sell alcohol at 7 a.m., knowing that they've got proper protocol, security concerns, you know, yada, 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 in place. So to me, I mean, maybe what we can do is maybe the condition can be modified from 6 a.m. until, you know, whatever the state law requires. That way we're consistent with state law. I don't know. I'm just kind of trying to think out loud here a little bit and be mindful of the fact that we potentially have a nationally known tenant coming into this corner, which to me is a better use than a no-name mom and pop coming into that corner.
Commissioner Dirk.
Has 7-Eleven signed on the line?
They haven't signed down the line, but they've been interested the whole trip. In other words, they've committed money to this site. The site, actually getting the site approved, has taken longer than they would have expected, but they are still interested in the site, yes.
And my understanding is this isn't the first time that 7-Eleven has, and you said the word, dictated to us.
Yeah, I mean...
And if it were another place, another location, maybe I wouldn't be as concerned, but this is Baseline, and everybody knows that we do have problems in that area.
Certainly. Right. Certainly.
Whether it's a mom and pop or a 7-Eleven, because they're still going to be available 24 hours and a lot, you know, mm-hmm. the sales and so forth. And then when the mom and pop stores close, people will be shifting there.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the question that we could ask, and I apologize, but is where do we stand from a legal standpoint here on this? Is it something that we can modify the conditions to make it, you know, 10 a.m. until 2 a.m., and then require that the applicant go out and find a tenant that would be acceptable to it? I'm trying to understand what latitude we may or may not have here.
I think how I would try to word it would be stay with what staff said, maybe move the dates up. If we get something within 3 months, go out to the site. If we've got the tenant, then you can change it in 3 months after we open. Or if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, if we have 7-Eleven in there 3 months from now, you guys can keep the hours of operation the same. If you go out there and you see a problem or you anticipate a problem, you can adjust that. That's what that condition in there indicating every 12 months or 6 months lets you do is it actually lets you go out to the site, investigate it, and then come back and say, hey, this is not what we want. This is not the tenant we want. And allows you to do that. So I think if you moved it up, you could be proactive. In other words, not waiting the 12 months and come out maybe 3 months after the project's open or maybe even a month after the project's open and see, make sure that you like what you see. Now, I can't guarantee 7-Eleven is going to be the tenant, but 3 years ago when we started this project, they were very interested in the site. They put up money, the $360,000. We lost because it was too long. So they're still interested in the site.
Okay. Commissioner Durr, you had a question?
Yep, took the words right out of my mouth. I like the idea of the follow-up. Is there any way we can get condition 18 from agenda item number 4?
Of course.
On agenda item number 3, then we have the follow-up, and then we can revisit it as long as we make sure we go follow-up.
I think a 6-month follow-up is adequate. A month, 3 months, that really doesn't give anybody any time to operate. So I think we can take condition 18 from item 4 and just modify that to a 6-month follow-up.
Sounds good to me. We're thinking the same, along the same lines. Is that way we have a little more control over whatever tenant gets in there, how they are active, and how they treat the neighborhood as well as the facility and the customer base that's already there. Any other comments? So, Commissioner?
Yeah, I was just wondering if it's fair to the, you know, potential operator of the convenience store to, you know, come in 6 months later and change things. To me, it'd be almost better to have it out in front. If you really want something different, to go ahead and say it now, then they can make a decision before they invest a bunch of money in it and then have the conditions change.
Well, I think under a conditional use permit, too, you guys are allowed to revisit these issues from time to time. I could be wrong on that, but I think that, you know, it is a condition. In other words, it's a conditional use permit on this project, and alcohol is always an issue. If it was a park across the way, if it was a rundown area, we're trying to bring up the area. I think the transportation plan does a good job of that. I think that with the tenant, with the correct tenant, I don't see a problem. But obviously there's problems. People see problems. So if there is a problem, we're more than willing to work with the council on any issues that they see outstanding. So I don't see it as being a problem reviewing it every 6 months. I've worked with this owner for 5 years, and most of his sites run like a clock. And he has 5 7-Elevens.
Yeah, we've had really good success with the 7-Eleven Corporation coming in and running the various establishments they've already put in this city. And it's enlightening to hear that you're saying that 7-Eleven is as a potential tenant. If I had a stronger assurance, it would make it a lot easier for me because of the quality of the way they operate as opposed to some off-the-wall private individual trying to run an operation. Clarify things. Where are we right now? It sounds like we're a potential modification of the hours. Is there an agreement there? Or are we going to leave the hours stand and move 18 from condition 18 from agenda item 4 over to this agenda item to cover the eventuality that it does not work out well? Have you had a chance to see that or hear that agenda or that condition? How about?
I think he read it. The condition from, what was it, 12 months to 6 months? Or is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a review to. Yeah. 12 months for the issuance of the certificate. And planning commission or planning division will make an inspection of the business and make sure that everything's going the way it was promised to be gone. And Mr. Persico, you were suggesting 6 months instead of 12 months?
Correct.
Could you give me a reason?
Well, as has been indicated, 12 months may be too long. I think 1 month isn't really enough time. So 6 months is just a, we would do a follow-up at 6 months, and we could do follow-up for the first 2 years in six-month increments.
That's to ensure the continued high performance operation that we come to expect from 7-Eleven type establishments.
Correct.
And the follow-up inspections will be done at 6 a.m. and at 2 a.m.? Isn't that the hours that we're concerned about or that I'm concerned about?
Well, I think the concern is more overall how the business runs. So it would be checking with the police department to determine if there are additional calls for service, if there's been incidents at the facility. I can tell you right now we will not have somebody out there at 6 a.m. and 2 a.m. if that's the question. We just don't have staff that work those hours. But we can certainly check with the police department on calls for service, and we can do a physical inspection of the property. I think with a lot of businesses, you can walk in and tell just by the order of the business and the cleanliness of the business how they operate when you're not there. So some of the we would be making some assumptions and gathering some data from the police department to determine whether or not there was an issue.
And we'd love to welcome all the council members to come in at any time to take a look at what's going on.
And I think our inspections are probably random without any advanced notice.
Just, absolutely, they are.
One of your staff will show up and take a look at the place to see if everything's going right.
Correct.
I'm good with that. Commissioner Lopez, are you satisfied with the modifications?
Sir?
One other issue that keeps coming up is because Commissioner Lopez brought up the fact that there is an elementary school in the area, and you have youngsters, and youngsters are going to convenience stores. I've run into this situation in my neighborhood where there's a convenience store that sells products that are intended for adults, but they're packaged in such a manner as to be enticing for children. And the control is not there. And I'm addressing that with the police department now because they're selling to minors these e-vapor devices and products because they look like candy, and the bath salt products. So
those are the smokeless cigarettes?
Pardon me?
E-vapor, that's the smokeless cigarettes.
Right. And they package them very attractive for children. Nice bright colors and stuff.
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar.
And that's a concern, at least in the convenience store over in my area. Not 7-Eleven, though. It's not a 7-Eleven. It's another private owner-operated convenience store.
7-Eleven. I don't think 7-Eleven sells that.
Probably not.
Product.
But we have no guarantee at 7-Eleven. Any other questions, comments? I have a speaker slip. Actually, I have two of them. Would you repeat your name, please?
Michael Coles. That one of them is mine.
Oh, because your pen was dying or something.
It was dying.
I have a Sam Alarabadi.
He's the honor.
Okay. He's speaking in favor as well?
Yeah, I just wanted to be here available for questions.
Welcome. I'm going to say Sam because I don't know if I'm pronouncing your last name correct.
Alarabadi.
Alarabadi. I got close. Yes. Would you give your address?
My name is Sam Alarabadi. My address is 799 West Pierce Line, San Bernardino, California, 92340.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Any comments or issues that you have with what we're doing?
You know, this project, I've been more than 3 years. We work with you guys. It's taken a long time. I like to prove that corner. I'm interested to make it beautiful area and safe area. The beer right now, I'm liking it. Only I get idea before I sell anybody beer. We very careful to sell beer to anybody because it's not good for us, big fine. Also, I like to save of the area. I like to keep my area as clean. Also, we're planning this plan to put security, cameras and security in the area 24 hours. And I'd appreciate it if you just let us move to our project and make that corner is beautiful.
Thank you. Any questions for the owner? Any comments? Thank you very much. We'll probably make a decision here in the next few minutes.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to go ahead and I don't know where this modification needs to be made in the conditions. Maybe staff can help. But to modify the time of the sales from 6 a.m. into 2 a.m. Until something that generally reads along the lines of to follow state law. So that way we're not, you know, putting hours on there that aren't consistent with everything else that's in the state.
So it would be, if you look at attachment A of the conditions of approval, we could modify condition number 3, which states the hours of operation.
Mm-hmm.
We could insert after the 2 a.m. or to be consistent with the ABC regulations, something to that effect.
Okay. Well, with that, then I'd like to go ahead and make a motion.
With the accept the motion, providing it has the inclusion of the verbiage for the review on a 6-month interval.
So the modification of condition number 18, I believe.
It moved from. Mm-hmm. It'll be another.
It's actually it's a new condition. It's condition 18 in item 4.
Okay.
It's not a part of this one. Have you looked at that, Oliver?
Yes, I did. So we'll change that from 12 months to 6 months.
Okay.
Right. On this one, agenda item three,
what we're discussing.
That's correct.
Okay.
So if I may, I'm going to give this a shot.
Okay.
I'd like to make a motion that the Planning Commission recommend the adoption of categorical exemption and approval of Conditional Use Permit 13-21. Based on the findings of fact contained in the staff report and subject to conditions of approval with the noted modifications as discussed here, with relation to hours of operation and review of the facility. Henry, how's that work?
Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried unanimous. Thank you very much for your patience.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just clarify for the record, so the condition number 18 that's on your agenda item number 4, I believe, could be added as a new condition number 42 to this item.
Correct.
Here tonight with 6 months, I believe, for the review period.
Okay. That's correct.
That's 6 months for 2 years.
Right, right. Every 6 month enter, 6, 12, 18, and 24-month review. Yes.
Thank you for your patience, gentlemen. Sometimes we get buried in trying to make the best decision for the city we can. I'm sure your operation and your facility will be beautiful and a definite improvement on the neighborhood. And agenda item number 4.
Good evening. Item number 4 on the agenda is conditional use permit 14-13 to allow the demolition of an existing nightclub, the merger of 3 lots, and the expansion of said nightclub, well, reconstruction and expansion of said nightclub to approximately 6,000 square feet. They do have an existing Type 47 on sale ABC license, and the property is located at 1241 West 5th Street in the commercial general CG3 zone, also specific plan Paseo Las Placidas. Originally, the property obtained a certificate of occupancy to operate a restaurant and cocktail lounge in 1981. They went before the Planning Commission to allow live entertainment in March of 1981 and were initially denied and then approved later in the year by City Council. The project has recently been reviewed by the Development and Environmental Review Committee on September 24th, and it was moved to Planning Commission for your review. Again, you can see in the locational map shows that the 3 properties are being merged to form a larger parcel on which the reconstruction will take place, and the property is located in the Paseo Las Placidas specific plan. This is the proposed site plan. You can see that there's additional parking being added. Currently, the club is underparked, underdeveloped generally. There will be additional floor space for dancing and dining. And you can see that the elevations show that there will be significant improvements made to the building. Also, landscaping will be upgraded along the front across 5th Street. Again, very needed in the area, and additionally, along the west side of the property, an additional 8.5-foot landscape buffer between an existing home at the property. This is the current condition of the building. You can see it is absolutely in need of renovation. Again, that's the south side of the property, east side, and west property line. To conclude, the Planning Division requests that the Planning Commission adopt the categorical exemption as an infill project and approve conditional use permit number 1413 based on the findings of fact. We did add one condition. It will be condition number 32. On the west side of the property, as stated previously, there is an existing home. Currently, the block wall there is about 3 feet tall, and we are going to get condition that the wall be constructed to a height of 6 feet.
That is in response to this person's letter?
Yes, that's correct. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
Go ahead. Commissioner, okay. I noticed that they're going to have security guards required at all times.
Yes, that's correct.
We have nothing I could find that says that they're going to have security cameras to cover the exterior of the facility?
No, but there will be security guards in the parking lot as condition...
Eleven is the security.
Yes, condition 11 states that two uniformed security guards will be maintained in the parking areas at all times.
My kind of Commissioner Lopez first.
Go ahead. Okay, I just have a question about the number of guards that will be required inside. It says 50 for every. Or one for every 50 patrons. If it was full, that would require seven.
That's correct.
Say they had 300, they'd have to have six. I'm wondering how you would enforce that.
possibly like we enforce most of these conditions with police department coordination.
It sounds like no enforcement.
I understand what Commissioner Machen is asking because unless there's a call for service, meaning something happened, we have no enforcement of what's going on inside that facility as far as security personnel as opposed to the number of patrons. Bottom line.
I have a question.
Commissioner Lopez.
How long has this applicant owned this property?
Since 2003.
Since 2003,
yes.
The person's owned it for quite some while, and there's a letter here from Concerned Citizens for the Welfare of San Bernardino. And my knowledge of the Copacabana, some of these problems do occur there. And we have two different individuals, Mr. Gudino and Concerned Citizens. Are any of those Concerned Citizens here who raised some questions about problems there? And again, there is no police comment.
If I may, though, I personally emailed Lieutenant Lawhead about that person's concerns, and he told me that there was no outstanding issues compared to any other nightclub in the city. Of course, there are sometimes fights that does happen as part of this type of use, but again, he said there was nothing outstanding that he could recall. And that paying women to dance is not an illegal activity.
So they don't know anything about women who are hired to consume alcoholic beverages or what happens inside?
He didn't seem to think that it was a problem or that it was illegal.
Because that is a common thing. It has happened in Ontario and other cities that are focused on Spanish-speaking customers.
Right. Again, he didn't think it was a problem or that it was an illegal activity.
I still don't know what that means, though, because no more problems than any other standard nightclub. I don't even know what the standard is for nightclubs in terms of calls for service, so it doesn't really tell me anything.
Okay.
And the concern should be that we're going from, what, a 3,000 square foot to almost more than double its size.
That's correct.
So I think we can expect that the noise will increase, maybe the fights and other activity, if we don't really know what's going on there.
Potentially, but we do have, again, more security that is a condition for the property. So, and additionally, if I may, if this project were to be denied in any way or conditioned in a way that the applicant could not comply, the use can continue exactly as is.
Commissioner Durr?
I just wonder if we could, since we did the last agenda item this way, if on condition 18, we could make that again every 6 months for 2 years, then that gives us some follow-up and ability, a chance to change things if we don't like what's happening.
Modify that to every 6 months?
I just thrown it out there as we did the last one. 6 months for 2 years.
6 months.
So that's four, that's what, three checkups?
That's four inspections.
Yeah, that would be four inspections. I would also say that I think the commission could require security cameras in addition to the security guards. Even though that's not a current condition, I think that would be completely appropriate. A lot of the conditions we acknowledge, staff acknowledges, are done as a matter of faith, and I understand that that's not always the ideal way to do them, but that is what happens on any business. We do what we can. We do require conditions if they do become problems. Unfortunately, we sometimes have to be reactive and can't always be proactive. And we, again, understand that is an issue, particularly when it comes to nightclubs. As Chantal has pointed out, she did talk to the lieutenant, and I think he has been here long enough and is aware of where the problem spots are. And he does not believe that this is an issue. But, yeah, alcohol is an issue in this community and in many communities. We do acknowledge that.
Is the applicant here?
The applicant is here, yes.
If she's willing to come forward and answer questions.
Would you like to speak?
Welcome. Does the applicant have to be sworn in? Yes. Ma'am, we have to swear you in before we take your testimony.
Hi. Would you raise your right hand, please?
Yes.
Do you solemnly affirm that the testimony you are about to give before this body will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? If so, please say I do.
Yes.
Thank you.
Your name and address for the tape record, please.
Evangelina Quintero. Evangelina Quintero. Okay. Evangelina Quintero.
Okay. Commissioner Lopez, you had questions for the applicant?
Are you aware of the letter that was submitted by this
no.
group? You have not had an opportunity to read it. Can
no.
we pass it on to her?
I see no reason why I can't. Mr. Pena's got
says
a copy
she's
for
not
her.
Aware of it.
We'll give you a minute to read that.
I have to go get my glasses.
That's fine. I find that my comments about video surveillance is if it's video surveillance that's monitored, has a tendency to reduce the potential for illicit activities in the parking lot that this unsigned letter refers to.
Mm-hmm.
Because the delivery of this letter was anonymous, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know who's...
We don't know who
just
it is.
Just a disgruntled person that wants to raise noises or...
I was just really interested when Commissioner Lopez brought up the, I'm reading here, the business is known to hire women to consume alcoholic beverages and to dance with patrons. This type of business activity is known in the community as a form of prostitution, and patrons know that they have to pay for this type of attention by these type of women, which is illegal. I don't understand what that means at all.
Well, it doesn't, it's not illegal to buy a woman a drink and then she dances with you. There's no law against
yeah,
that.
That's yeah.
Are they saying it's prostitution where they're performing lap dances, semi-nude or nude or?
It doesn't say that, but that's obviously if we're getting into dance club, that's a different conversation,
yeah.
Right? If we're getting into gentlemen's club or whatever that might be, but that doesn't what doesn't seem to be what this appears like.
I don't consider it prostitution.
Okay.
Chatting.
Go ahead, Ms. Quintero.
I've already read it.
You've read it?
Right.
And
yes.
Do you have any idea where this came from?
I don't hire anybody to drink or, you know, to pay for the drinking of the clients. So I don't know what they're talking about.
I need to make sure you're speaking into the microphone because you're fading out on us.
Okay. I do not hire anybody to dance or to be paid to be drinking with the clients. I just hire the girls to serve the drinks.
Okay, which is pretty much standard operating procedure. Would you be amenable to having security cameras covering?
We have security cameras right now.
Okay.
We have ADT.
So that's not an issue if we condition it. Do you have those cameras?
We've got like 7 cameras inside the building, and we've got 4 cameras at the outside.
And they're monitored, and they are the recordings are available to the police department whenever the police department.
Yes.
That is one of the conditions that I like to see at any nightclub establishment, because there's a potential for the patrons to be stupid after they leave your premises.
ADT's supposed to be going this Monday to be checking on it.
Do we need to put that condition in? I think we need to have that condition in, that security cameras are present. We've used it. It's almost a standard condition, Chantel, that we get that condition in and you're acceptable, that the external security cameras are monitored and the video is available to the police department upon demand.
So we're swapping conditions tonight. I'll be adding condition number 17 from item 3.
Correct. Just incorporating, we're kind of making it consistent of all establishment. Mr. Pena. Yeah,
Mr. Chairman, I think it's one thing that businesses are required to have security cameras, like we have the requirement for the convenience store gasoline station, conditional use permits. You mentioned, though, that the video cameras be monitored. If you're talking about actively monitoring them and setting up a video surveillance system, that's a lot different than just having security cameras that record, and the recordings are available.
Recording is what I meant.
Okay, so there's not active monitoring.
Not active monitoring.
Okay.
Although if they wish to see what's going on outside, they could. Commissioner Lopez.
Are you going to demolish the old building and build a new building? Is that it?
We wanted to actually first build the new building, and after it's finished, demolish the old one.
Okay.
And make it parking.
And make it parking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's almost like a landmark that's going to be destroyed. You know how long the Copacabana has been there?
We've been there since, I think, 1990.
Yeah, long. You have been there since.
I have.
But the building, it's been there way longer.
Yeah,
okay, so you're going to build a new one first and then demolish it and make it a parking. And you do understand the question that was asked earlier about the number of security guards that you'll have to have if you're
right
at
now
capacity.
We actually have 3-4 sometimes on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Commissioner Durr?
Yes, so you're a security, you use uniform security, or is it an agency, or is it your own people?
It's California Force Patrol.
Thank you.
Commissioner Bailey?
Thank you. I feel like staff might have something to say.
Yes, actually, we would require the demolition of the building prior to the building of the new building.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is to help me with this, Mr. Director.
They would have no parking if they had... The new building is being built where the parking lot currently is, so it's very typical. I think also the practical aspects when you got into grading and drainage of the property, typically these sites have to be completely regraded in order to get the drainage to work. So in addition to just the basic zoning violations, I think the practical reality is once you had a contractor and construction plans, it just wouldn't work. But Chantal is correct. We would require that the site be cleared prior to issuance of permits.
I wanted to make sure that Ms. Quintero was aware of that.
I didn't know that. We were planning to build it first. And since the parking that we use is the same one we've been using forever, And where we're going to build is where we used to have the old house. It was like an old house and just a big garage. And that's where it's going to be built on the other side.
I mean, we can certainly look at that. I don't think this is something the commission needs to get
involved with. No, I think that's something that you need to work out with the
But yeah, I think we do have some concerns, and not to say that it couldn't be done, but I think it's unlikely.
I can understand them wanting to stay in business as long as possible without,
sure. We
without
do too.
Loss of revenue.
Please.
Any other questions? Comments? I'll entertain a motion if somebody's ready to.
Well, I'll go ahead and make a motion that the Planning Commission adopt categorical exemption and approve conditional use permit number 14-13 based on findings of fact contained in the staff report, subject to conditions of approval, as well as the additional conditions that have been discussed at this table with respect to security cameras and with respect to, what was the other thing? Number 17 from number 3.
Yes, to modify condition number 18 to within 6 months.
There we go.
Over 2 years.
Correct.
And the addition of the 6-foot block wall.
We did also add
the
6-foot
block wall.
That's correct.
And the addition of the 6-foot block wall. Thank you to this letter.
Second. I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None? Congratulations.
Thank you.
You have details to work out with the
with the
city staff on the process.
Thank you.
Thank you, and I think it'll be a great boon to the economy to reestablish in a bigger, better place.
Thank you.
Thank you. Where am I at here? Okay, next on the agenda. Gotta get to the agenda. Non-public hearing items. None. Public comments, items not on the agenda in the purview of the Planning Commission. None. Planning Commission reports or announcements. Commissioner Paxton, you're here.
My apologies. I will be missing in action November, December. I'm going to have hip replacement surgery on November 2nd. So I'm looking at a 2-month rehab, but I plan to be back in January. And I can go to the club and salsa dance after I get my new hip.
Good luck with that, sir.
Yeah, but you're tough. You'll push it faster. Just for a reminder, up at the Vertimont Community Center, there's a free concert tomorrow evening starting at 6 p.m. Swing Street Band, which is old school music. Mike Thomas and the Swing Street Band, he's being an expanded band. 15-member band this time, a vocalist. They play 40s, 50s, 60s music. And again, it's free. And that's at on Little League Drive, just past Palm. That's the only thing I have. Director's report.
Yes, thank you, Chair and Commissioners. You have in front of you the major projects update list for October 5th. If you have any questions on any of those projects, we can answer those for you. We also distributed copies of the quarterly newsletter, and I would like to give a brief update on the development code project, which we have been working on since December of last year. Originally, we were hoping to have this project completed by early next year. As with any project of this size and complexity, they always turn out to be more involved than you think. I think our new deadline is probably going to be in the springtime, but we certainly want to make sure that we get it right and that we cover all of the issues. when you get down into the details of these things, again, they always turn out to be more complicated. So I just want to let the commission and the public know that the schedule has slipped by about 6 months. And that concludes my report. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you very much. I'll entertain a motion at this time for adjournment and to the Wednesday, November 18th at 6 p.m. in this facility. I have a motion. Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody crazy? Nope. Thank you.